episode 96.
That knowledge equals competitiveness, and learning is the only source of a real, sustainable competitive advantage. Now, this belief has to be ingrained in your personal core belief and value system. It has to be something that you spend some time really thinking about. And then as you think about it, you start to apply how it would improve your surroundings, how it would improve your business, how it would improve your employees and so forth. And when this truly happens, then you'll begin to act upon this belief and your coworkers and employees will start to pick up on it.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio, and a special interview from an auto care industry professional.
On Point.
Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriato here, and thank you for downloading this program from RemarkableResults.biz, iTunes, or even Stitcher Radio, and for following our insider email announcing each new episode. Now, welcome to episode 96 and our second visit with Jeff Peavy from AMI. To hook up with us, go to remarkableresults.biz/insider to get the early notification of every new episode. You can get me directly at carm@remarkableresults.biz. And if you find the show to be of interest and value, subscribe to it, as well as give me a positive 5-star review on iTunes. I thank my sponsor, Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus, for serious technical training and support online, on-site, and on-demand. Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageguru.com. Now, I love when you connect with us on Facebook and Twitter, and it really helps support the show. And remember, this is the place where aftermarket wisdom rules. Now, our guest is the president of Automotive Management Institute, AMI. It's Jeff Peavy. Jeff is a 43-year industry wise man who has spent the last 20 years involved with education and research. Jeff, in his second appearance on the show, will open your mind and drive home an important strategy on building a learning culture in your business. So why listen? Realize that a culture of learning is a sustainable competitive advantage. Appreciate how systems think improves your business. Find out that learning is not just training, but everything that increases knowledge. Learn how to encourage millennials to come to your business to work in it. And believe me, Jeff is giving you about 30 great bullet points for the taking. Be sure to get out your pad or even your digital voice recorder, because you may just have a personal epiphany. Great wisdom's coming at you. So here we go with Jeff Peavy, President AMI, the Automotive Management Institute. A warm welcome to Jeff Peavy, President of Automotive Management Institute, AMI. Jeff, are you ready to go on point?
I sure am, and I sure appreciate the opportunity to discuss the learning culture and, more importantly, how to implement one or to begin the process of developing a learning culture within your business.
Well, I can't wait to hear about it, and you've been on before and talked about AMI and all the great things going on there, and I hope everything's on track with that.
It certainly is.
Well, you know, I believe as humans, we learn every day, Jeff. We're almost biologically wired to learn. We can't stop ourselves from doing it. And I classify myself as a perpetual student. And so I guess I'm curious, how do organizations have a transformative learning culture that improves their success?
Well, you know, a couple of things. First of all, we are wired to learn as humans. And I guess it's real apparent to me because I have a 3-year-old, and you know, you realize that we're born with this interest, or we're really just sponges. We learn everything. Mm-hmm. But as we get older, we tend to develop, I guess, an ego that we're afraid to show that we're learning. And you know, there is some evidence out there and some studies that show that the older we get, the less interest we have in learning, and that that is something you have to be aware of. And something that you have to work against, because as quickly as things are moving and changing, mm-hmm. if you are not a student, you will fall behind very quickly. So, you know, as we talk about implementing a learning culture, it all starts by acknowledging your business has a culture within it, and that culture dictates your success and your profitability and even your employee turnover and just a whole list of things that can either be very positive or very negative. I've mentioned this before as I've spoke at conferences on the topic of business culture and learning culture. Many times where I've presented, I've had small business owners come up to me and say that, you know, they really just didn't think that their particular repair shop even had a culture.
Oh.
And I always kind of lightheartedly quote the famous psychologist R.D. Lang when he talks about the range of what we think and do is limited by what we fail to notice. And it is easy to really just not be aware that there is a culture within your business.
Sure.
And so we start with what I find is my favorite definition of culture, and I apply this to the business. And it is that culture can be defined as a pattern of learned assumptions that have worked well enough to be considered valid and therefore to be taught to new members as the way, or the correct way, actually, to perceive, think, and even feel in relation to problems of survival and integration. So think about this. We need to think about and to begin to become aware of these patterns of learned assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that these assumptions are generally considered so valid that they are typically even taught to new employees. Now, that isn't necessarily in a formal training program.
They absorb it. They just absorb it as part of the everyday.
That's right. You come into a company or a business, and the employees are going to be very quick to bring you up to speed about how things are around here. And typically, because of that need to integrate into the group, the person tends to start to adopt these learned assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these assumptions establish what is considered in that business as the correct way to perceive things, to think about things, and ultimately how everyone feels about things. And that is especially true when challenges arise or issues arrive. But the big thing here is that it all starts with leadership, because employees take their cues on how to act and to think from leadership.
Here's great news. There's a new brake pad on the market that can stop a pickup SUV or CUV up to 50 feet sooner than other leading pads. And on top of that, it lasts up to twice as long as previous designs. Sound too good to be true? Well, Wagner Brake did it. They designed their new Wagner OEX brake pads that stopped up to 50 feet sooner than other leading brake pads. To prove it, they got Link Engineering, pretty much the industry standard on brake performance testing, and they got their proof. But Wagner needed more convincing. They asked 400 top technicians to put Wagner OEX pads to the test, where it matters most, in their shops and on their customers' vehicles. 99% said they saw a noticeable difference in the new brakes, and 95% said they'd likely recommend them to other service professionals for their customers. Now, soon you can get Wagner OEX brake pads in your shop. They'll be available nationwide with coverage for 95% of U.S. pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Get the full story. Learn about the science behind Wagner OEX and check coverage. Go to WagnerBrake.com. Isn't it true, though,
sure,
if we add a new individual to the group, the whole dynamic of the culture changes because that person brings with them some of their own way?
It can, and that can be good or bad. Because, again, the culture starts with leadership and then begins to be molded by each individual, their own personal experience, their personalities and everything.
I see what you're saying, and that's why the owner or the leader of the group has got to take a bold move to be sure that the individual does adapt. And what you're saying is if there isn't any purposeful leadership, then it's just going to adapt to the flow.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And you know, when I refer to leadership, it actually doesn't have to be the owner,
right,
or the boss.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen learning culture begin to grow within a business, and it started because someone else within the business began to learn about it, see the need for it, and begin to influence those around them. I will make a point. Now, the stuff I'm about to mention applies to businesses, but it also applies in the family setting.
Okay.
I will stress that if you know, a lot of times you will find individuals whose parents were teachers at schools, that those individuals are fairly successful. And, you know, I will point to a lot of even politicians, a lot of times will have at least one parent that was a teacher. And the reason I say that is because they tend to have adopted a version of the learning culture within their family culture. And so when we start to apply this to business, you can see that there's a tremendous amount of this that really pays off to have these same things applied in your family and to begin to really establish these in the family. So the conclusion really is that developing a modern and more productive learning culture really starts at the top. And as a leader, you must acknowledge and ultimately believe, and I've kind of worked on this phrase that I believe is a way at least that sticks in my mind, that knowledge equals competitiveness, and learning is the only source of a real sustainable competitive advantage. Now, this belief has to be ingrained in your personal core belief and value system. It has to be something that you spend some time really thinking about. And then as you think about it, you start to apply how it would improve your surroundings, how it would improve your business, how it would improve your employees and so forth. And when this truly happens, then you'll begin to act upon this belief and your coworkers and employees will start to pick up on it. So that's a crucial first step to creating a learning culture within your business.
A powerful quote. Very good.
Mm-hmm. So then the journey begins, right? You have to develop an expectation for everyone to learn. And it seems so simple, but a lot of learning just happens. Or worse, the opportunity to learn just happens. And then the actual learning gets away from us. We must really make a point and acknowledge our willingness and openness to learn.
Can you give me an example of that? You know, that the learning may escape me.
Sure. Well, absolutely. I hate to go into detail because there's been a lot of times in my life where I had some really good lessons that I was exposed to and just didn't learn them. and made the same mistake over.
But didn't you stop, look back, think about it, rewind your day or your week and say, I missed that. Boy, did I learn something.
Yeah, over and over. I'll give you a really good example. Years ago, I was involved in an organization rebuild, not the one I'm involved in with now, but with AMI, but with another one. Uh-huh. And we went out and what we referred to as exploration, we went out and sought industry feedback. And we in an organized way attempted to capture that feedback and organize it so it would be useful. But what we found was there was times when what we heard and the way we interpreted it wasn't correct. And so mm-hmm. one of the things that is an example is that was once we realized that not 100% of the time were we correctly interpreting the feedback, then we developed a process that says once we gather the feedback, we go back to those that we gathered it from to just really kick the tires and make sure that we captured it the way they meant it. And that helped and really molded me in the way that I go about the process of gathering and, you know, exploring for feedback.
So are you saying you went out and clarified?
Absolutely. And so that was an example of kind of an opportunity that we had to learn and actually it become part of the design.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important. It's a really important process.
Got it.
So I give you, going back to this expectation for everyone in the business to learn from the owner, from the last employee that was hired, the one maybe in the repair shop that cleans vehicles up even, there needs to be an expectation for everyone to learn. And a really good way to start is when you send someone to training. You set the expectation that it is an opportunity to learn and why that is important to the individual and to the business. You ask the employee really to bring back key things that they learn and plan to discuss with management and coworkers, as it really needs to be seen as an investment in them mm-hmm. and in the business. Because you see, so many times we display a belief that training is just something we get through, and thus to meet a requirement. And when this happens, very little is learned. I mean, we give the employee permission to not learn. I've seen leaders literally, unfortunately, I have to confess that even I've been guilty of this in the past, of apologizing to an employee for the inconvenience of having to send them to training. It's absolutely the best way to minimize any return on investment for training. So you think about it, we need to always be asking, what did we learn? Yeah. What did we learn today? What did we learn this week? And we just, that's a really important part of our process of supporting the development of a learning culture within the business.
That's a great takeaway. Thanks.
So then the next thing is really we need to set the expectation to share knowledge. Knowledge in someone's head is maximized when it is shared. There are times and even personalities that really isn't open to really, they just don't want to share their knowledge and experience. And so in a repair shop environment, often technicians will see what they know as a personal leg up on those around them. And though in a sense that's true, it can hurt your business's efficiencies and accuracies, and ultimately the profitability and the ability to grow. So you need to set the expectation and insist that your staff share their knowledge and experience with each other. The second and probably one of the most challenging parts of this is that everyone must be willing to listen and accept the opportunity to learn from each other.
Right. I believe you would agree that being a top tech is hard work. Keeping up is a full-time gig, considering vehicle technology, repair procedures, and diagnostics. It's refreshing to know that Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Guru is there for you. It's been designed by and for technicians, the best in the industry. And did you know there's no other comprehensive program like this anywhere? A big part of the program is the nationwide network of Guru's on-site training and technology centers, and there, you get your hands dirty with the equipment and tools you use every day in real work-related situations. And if these great training programs aren't enough, you've got the Guru's On Demand app for quick, accurate assistance and information. And when the phone is just perfect, there's the ASE-certified bilingual Guru's On Call there to help. And this year, you get free stuff from the Garage Rewards loyalty program. You earn points towards gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts' brand. And what is really great, it costs nothing to join, and you'll start earning points immediately. Head on over to fmgarageGurus.com and learn all about Garage Guru's training, support, and get in on the rewards. You know, I have to stop you for a moment and say mm-hmm. that I've always learned this to be true, that when you teach, you learn.
Yes.
And you're just nailing it right there.
Uh-huh.
Anyone who wants to be able to share their knowledge actually helps solidify it even better.
Mm-hmm. My observations really is that when we teach, we tend to understand.
Ah, okay.
We really do. Yeah. So in the book, The Living Company by Ari DeGuse, he made a statement, and I'll stop and read this, so bear with me. He says in the book that nothing is easier, and at the same time, nothing is more difficult than to redistribute the scarce production factor of today, knowledge. It is easy and cheap to give, but its redistribution requires not so much the act of giving as the willingness and capability to receive it.
Yeah. and listening is an art, and you can't listen to answer. You have to listen to learn.
That's correct. So we need to continually work on our openness to accept knowledge from each other. And again, in some of the next pieces of this, they kind of help balance that. But, you know, from experience, we've learned that you need to be very aware within your business, if you have a personality that lacks credibility with his or her peers, yet continually tries to share what he or she thinks, you know, really a know-it-all, because that individual can derail the creation of learning culture within your business. So you have to be willing to identify that individual, grit your teeth, and maybe even terminate someone like that in order to back up your determination to create a true learning culture within your business.
Great point.
You know, something else that kind of goes along with this is really setting a meeting whether it be a weekly, monthly, or even quarterly, that the meeting has one purpose, and that is to discuss with each other what has been learned within that time frame, and openly share with each other, have an open discussion about the topics that, you know, someone said, I broke a bolt off in the head and I realized that I did it because I was using this and I probably should have done this first. And someone can, you know, and it starts this discussion, and that's probably not a great example, but it starts a dialogue that everyone comes together at a set time and where they can prepare. But that shows really, or reinforces the expectation to learn and to share knowledge. And then that comes, really falls right into the next thing. And that is, there needs to be a discussion with the employees around the idea of being an expert within their chosen area. And it is really a personal commitment to expertise. Now, you know, there's a lot to be said about being timid about saying I'm going to be an expert, because that tends to kind of conjure up some negative images of people who, you know, what is the real definition of an expert? But there is a personal commitment that we can make, that we will strive to be the very best, whatever role we are playing or we are in a business, we're going to be the absolute best we can be. And, you know, it sounds so simple, and you would think it would be a given, right? But it's really not, because the vast majority of us never make a determined commitment to be an expert in our field. We just too often go through our day, you know, our week or month or year, just getting by and doing our version of the best we can, but never really making that commitment to ourselves and to our coworkers and to our bosses and so forth.
So if I was the leader and I knew that I had a C-tech, but say he was a great lube guy, then mm-hmm. then let's make him the expert. Let's make him the best at that.
Sure. And becomes identified as the go-to guy that you would go to learn from when it comes to that particular thing.
Excellent.
Yeah. So the combination of an expectation to learn and a commitment to expertise obviously go hand in hand. And keep in mind, learning isn't just training, but everything that increases knowledge. So in some of the studies I was involved in the past, the best performing repair shops always had a version of the learning culture. They had industry magazines laying around, not just in the front office, but they were in break rooms. They were on technicians' benches. They were in the vehicles of the technicians. It was just throughout the shop. And more importantly, they were read and discussed amongst the employees. This I guess to me was kind of hit home as a really good example of the focus on and the understanding of the role of learning.
So basically what you're saying is it could happen at any time. You may need to recognize when that happens.
Kind of stuff mm-hmm. that we will just start to say, but we really don't let them really sink in.
Are you telling me that if I say, hey, we've got to go to training, that is more negative than positive?
Well, I think that it can be. And especially when you think about most of the time, gosh, this sounds bad, but when you say something to me about training, there's this image that is conjured up in my head of this either hot or cold classroom with often folding chairs with no pads or cushions.
Okay.
You know, with some noisy fan in a shop environment that someone's trying to make it a classroom, and the guy's sitting in the front, sitting on the corner of a desk or sitting on something, practically reading to me. And I'm like, that just doesn't conjure up positive to me at all. And so we really have to think in terms of learning. And boy, you know, it's a much higher calling at that point.
So what you're saying is we instead of saying, let's go to training, we should say, let's go learn something.
Absolutely. And especially when you put the crucial role of learning in our success, in our future success. And so that leads to one more step or another step. And to me, this one, probably to a small business owner, seems like it's really odd. And it is the creation of a company vision. And most small businesses have never gone through this exercise. And there's a lot we could talk about this one, just this one topic alone. But it isn't about so let's back up. So the creation of a company vision, it's what the company is, it should be and will be, and the improved condition it helps provide to the community. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not something that you create in your office, but right. actually you discuss with your employees as it is a shared vision. It's co-created. The ultimate company vision is co-created with the employees. I have literally been involved where I've seen the leader and a few chosen ones go in a room and come out and say, here is your, you know, here is our company vision. And that's when as an employee, you do not feel like you were a part of that. It's not your vision. And you need everyone in the business to share that vision. So you co-create it together. And so you don't create it in your office, but you actually discuss with your employees. And again, we have found that top performing repair shops and their employees placed a couple of things. It isn't that it happened. So here's how this started to really show up for us is that when we would interview shop owners and their employees in those highest performing shops, they all shared some very common themes about that business and about its purpose and about what it represents to them and to the owner and to the community they serve. And they all were on the same page. When the lower performing shops and even the average performing shops, you didn't get this consistent theme about the vision and purpose and so forth of the businesses. And then there was this one other thing that I believe is extremely important. But first, you know, everyone just needs to be on the same page about the business effort, personal ownership, and acknowledged contribution to business and to this business encourages staff members to care for and to go above and beyond their role for that business. So then comes the thing that really shows up for me in this. The top performing shops and their employees seem to place very positive in their mind, it was very positive contribution to the community. So when you talk to them, they would say, well, we repair cars in such a way I would gladly put my own families in them. And I feel good about the type and quality and caliber of repair that we make because we are doing a service to the local community.
That sounds like a purpose.
It is a purpose. Yeah. And I know the I'm on the board of directors of the National Auto Body Council, and we do a program called Recycled Rides where the employees of a repair shop will take a car and redo it and then give it to a needy family. Mm-hmm. And all of the employees get this real sense of reward for what they contributed to. And they do what they do, and they do it, you know, at no charge, and it's, you know, a charity, and oh, it's a heartbreaker. You cannot go to one of these events without, you know, shedding.
Yeah, I know I've heard about them. Let me stop you for a moment. Mm-hmm. You mentioned create the company vision, and many people that have been around the horn a bit understand there's vision, mission, values, and purpose. Mm-hmm. And is it correct to say that the vision is where we're going and what we expect to do?
Yeah.
And mission would be the how we do
it. How we do it. That's correct.
And the values is what we believe in.
That's right. And without a vision, we tend to really perish. We don't have this hopefulness that really drives humanity. You take all of that together, a co-created company vision, an understanding of the mission, the purpose, the contribution to the community. See, it gives a greater purpose beyond just the work the business does and provides a sense of pride and personal reward really to each employee. Now, that, from what we found, attracts and retains millennials. the younger generation who wants more from their work than just a paycheck. So that's an important element. And those businesses that can adopt a learning culture tend to have, they attract millennials and they retain millennials quite a bit, much higher rate than average shop. So it's important that we get this right. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't have time today to go into the production factors of an economy and how we tend to think in terms of an industrial age management mindset. That could be another topic for another day.
Sure.
But this really does. This is about how we can encourage millennials to come to our business, work in our businesses, and stay in our business. And we need to get this right because in within 14 years, 75% of the workforce will be millennials. And so we got to get this right. If we don't, our competitors will, and they will be able to really continue to grow and be successful, and we won't.
So you were saying, you know, I want to talk to you about creating a vision, and, you know, some people may not see that there's value in it. But after listening to what you just said, that seems to be the foundation of the whole learning culture initiative.
Yeah, you can see how they all just tie together.
Yeah, wow.
And it really does.
Very powerful stuff. Wow, it's almost like a little mini MBA class in the last 20 minutes. Wow.
So there's really just one more thing to add to that, and then one wrap up, and that is we need to encourage our staff. It's referred to as systems thinking, but that's kind of a fancy way to put it. You know, we just need to encourage our staff to think of the whole operation. So, but we have to be willing to teach them enough about the whole operation and the business and its challenges so that they can consider the whole operation and their personal influence over it when facing challenges and working through solutions.
Mm-hmm,
we really tend to go, well, you know, I don't know. That's, you know, that's asking a lot. And a lot of times a business owner doesn't want to share that much with their employees. But you see, especially technicians, they are naturals at systems thinking. They do it all the time. When working on a vehicle, a dead battery isn't just a standalone part, and technicians understand that it's, you know, it's part of a charging system, which is part of an electrical system, which is really part of an overall vehicle system.
Right.
So you have to educate your employees so that they can understand the business better, and then invite them to think of the business as a series of systems that all influence one another, and that so when making a change in one area, the effects have to be considered to the whole. We have to discourage the tendency that we often get into when we're working on cars in a stall. You know, a lot of times we can get in this mindset that we're thinking about the repair on this car in my stall on this day. And so if I move a piece of equipment and start putting it somewhere else, and I don't think about how that affects the whole operation, or if I, you know, there's just a lot of things that a shop owner can start to think about, and even really a technician can, that they have to be careful that they're thinking downstream and upstream, and how does this affect it? If you get everybody in the business thinking like that, it really makes a difference.
You're talking lean right now.
Yeah, but it, to me, what, you know, a lot of times you will see evidence of the five S's or lean being introduced to a shop,
right?
But you don't see it stick. First time something goes wrong, they abandon it and go back to what they were doing. And I believe that the learning culture is really the glue that puts lean or five S's and all of those kind of exercises and processes, really, it keeps them together.
Yeah, I guess if the learning culture is there, which means we want to continually look for improvements in every regard, lean could stick if that was strong.
That's correct. And then finally, hire when you need to hire someone, hire with your core belief highlighted. We have found in our studies that when willingness to learn and share knowledge was the first thing in a help wanted ad, a totally different type of candidate would respond. One typically never seen by that business. They tended to be younger, better educated. They wanted to become even better, and they wanted to become part of a business that encouraged personal and professional growth and that positively contributed to the community. So again, you see there is a trend in all of this that you either become part of this trend and all of these little elements put together that really builds the recipe for future success and growth, or you're outside of it with a industrial age management mindset, thinking of your employees really more as laborers than knowledge workers, and that will work less and less every year. So, you know, changing a culture doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. It takes a commitment, perseverance, and a determination to break those old assumptions. But it is an essential, it really is essential to today's businesses really wanting to grow and be successful in the future.
Wow, great. You know, I was moved by a Help Wanted ad that mm-hmm. says willingness to learn and share your knowledge.
Yeah.
Talk about being able to set up your learning culture on the job interview.
That's right.
Wow. Great point.
You know, it gets back to what we were talking about, that each employee contributes to the culture in the business and what they bring. So as you hire people that were attracted by that, it becomes more natural within the business.
Well, that shows that their culture could vary in a big way. Obviously, the leader or whoever is hiring has to look at that person in the whole and how well they're going to fit in to the culture of the business. And we discussed that a little earlier. Great, great point. Hey, does AMI have a course on creating a learning culture?
Well, there's a couple of, we actually are in the middle of creating an online course around business culture. So it's going to be coming out in the next few months. It will just be an online course. ICAR, in the production manager series that they have developed, there is a course or two on learning culture, and I would suggest that, you know, I have over the last few years done between 12 and 18 presentations at conferences every year. And on the topic. And so I would really invite anyone that's interested to give me a call or to shoot me an email or whatever, because I learn every time that I have a conversation with someone or we work with someone to help them adopt a learning culture and start that journey. We're all learning. So I'm very open to sharing, you know, anything I know with anybody.
So you're okay if I put your email in the show notes?
Absolutely.
Wow. Woo, this was good. This is your second podcast with us, and you hit it out of the park again. Wow, Jeff, thank you. And you know, thanks for all that you do for the industry. This is good stuff. I mean, how many people are going to have a chance to listen to this, and hopefully it helps change their world a bit. So,
well, I hope so.
Jeff Peavy, president of the Automotive Management Institute, AMI. Hey, thanks for going On Point with us today.
Hey, thank you.
Guys, thanks so much for listening. Find a good compilation on this show and important links and email relating to our guest, Jeff Peavy from AMI, on remarkableresults.biz. That's also the place where you can subscribe to be an insider and get the pulse on every new episode release and some nice backstory on our guest. I really do appreciate you and would ask that you help spread the word on the podcast. Uniting our industry for continual improvements is a goal, and I'm so grateful for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.